The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply and with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall so show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 10 and 14 to 18. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore in him a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and let then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. For now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. And if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethesda! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Luke is the only one of the four gospel writers that records the sending out of the 72. You know, with salvation, there also comes a certain responsibility of sharing the gospel. See, Jesus didn't just leave the ministry to the 12 apostles. He left it to many to carry it out. Kind of like in the church. I'm not the only one who does it. All right? We're all in this together. This is part of the message that Luke is getting out, that it's just not going to be the 12 who are to carry out everything. And by the way, verse 21 is really interesting because it talks about Jesus rejoicing. He rejoices when the 12 came back. And that's kind of cool. By the way, it's the only place in the Bible where it's recorded that Jesus rejoiced. So my question is how can we bring joy to the Lord? Jesus recruits additional workers. Now imagine this. There's a lot of work to be done, but few volunteers. We've never heard that. I mean, never, ever, ever. I mean, even Jesus was having problems getting volunteers, okay? So you think about that one. He said there's a lot to do, but few workers. And then, okay, he's got the 72. He tells them all this. And then he says, guess what? You're like lambs among the wolves. Now go have fun. But isn't that exactly what we face when we go out in the world? There's a certain amount of hostility all the time against Christians. And he tells them to travel light and to greet no one. No, that's not Jesus saying, be rude. See, at this time period, the Jewish people had a habit of if you met somebody along the road, you had to stop and have a long talk with them. So if you stop every time you meet somebody that you don't know, it's going to take you a long time to get there. So guess what? You get less work done. So he's saying, stay focused on the task. You know, sometimes our lives get so cluttered. We get so caught up in that social world that we forget the spiritual purpose of our existence. He tells them to remain in the same house. See, they didn't have Motel 6 back then. All right? Didn't exist. So when you travel to a town, you would go up to a house and say, peace be with you. And if they were friendly people, hospitable people, they'd invite you into the house. Now, can you imagine today somebody knocking on your door saying, you got an extra room for me for tonight? Yeah, I don't think I'd really want to ever try that. But that's the way they did it. Now, when you were then invited into the house, this was a big deal. It was a big deal to be hospitable to your guests, even complete strangers. So once again, you would sit and talk. There would be a bigger meal than usual and some entertainment. Then you could stay any number of days that you wanted. Again, just imagine a complete stranger occupying one of your rooms for a week or two. All right? But this was the culture of the day. So what he's saying is don't go from house to house, because guess what? If you do that, you've got to keep repeating this process. You know, the greeting, the long talking, getting to know each other, the big dinner, the entertainment, all that stuff. So if you keep doing that, guess how much work you get done? A lot less. So he's not telling them to be rude. He's saying, stay focused on what I sent you for. There's an urgency about the task. And never think that one person can't make a difference. I used to have a coffee cup. I'm assuming it went the way of many other coffee cups and got dropped, but it had a picture of a starfish on it. You might have heard the story
And as the tide came in, the starfish were being washed in. And this old man was going, picking up the starfish and throwing them back. And of course, when the water came back in the next wave, some same starfish got washed right up on the shore. This young guy said to him, "Why are you doing it? Most of them are coming back anyway." He says, "Yeah, but it makes a difference to the one who didn't come back." You know, so never think that one person can't do something. Jesus also instructs them and us, "Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The first thing we do, even in the church when we have meetings, stuff like that, what do we always begin it with? Prayer. Because we're carrying out the Lord's task. What's impossible for men is possible for God. And I jokingly said before that even Jesus had troubles getting volunteers. Well, I got a question. If not I, then who? Now imagine if there was no draft. Can't have a draft for the military. And everybody thinking of going into the service says, "No, I'm going to let somebody else do it." What kind of a military would we have? How long do we last? So somebody has to step forward. And the message that the 72 and even the message that we carry out into the world is this. It's quite simple. Who is God? What has he done for me? And then what is my response to that? That's who God is. I don't have to argue the existence of God. I tell people who he is, what he's done for us on the cross, and what he expects in response. You know, if the gospel lesson ended right there, it would be okay. Notice, though, Jesus goes into a series of warnings. There's consequences when people don't receive the gospel. You know, "Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethesda, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you." Wow, wouldn't you like to live in those two cities? That'd be like Christ saying, "Franklin, woe to you." Should have been a wake-up call to them. And then he even warns Capernaum. Keep in mind, Capernaum, according to Matthew chapter 9, it's recognized as the city where Jesus lived. It's his own city. He did an awful lot of teaching there, a lot of preaching, miracles, and they rejected him. And he also says, look, there's some serious consequences for this. See, the gospel message of Christ is salvation. It's not just something casual. Okay, yes, I know who God is. Well, that's great. Or what I love is, well, I have my faith, but I like to keep it private. Is there any such thing as private faith? No. By definition, there cannot be. Because part of our response to what Christ has done is to be the laborers in the field. And it's also, the gospel message is just not one option out there I can accept. Well, I'm glad that's good for you, that religious stuff, but I'm more of just a spiritual person. What does that mean? What, you believe in Casper? You know. See, that's why I smile so much when I talk to people, because this stuff goes in my head. Anyway, and Jesus completes the thought with, "And he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So he's telling the 72, you're going out there, you're going to be sharing the gospel message. Don't take it personal if they reject it, because who are they ultimately rejecting? Christ. And then they're also rejecting the Father who sent him. So don't take it personal. And Jesus also then gives them a warning when they come back, because they're all excited that they've been able to cast out demons in his name. And Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So they're all thrilled that they've been casting out the demons, doing all these really great things in these towns where they've been visiting. And Christ says, yeah, and I saw Satan fall. Yeah, he's talking about way back when. But you realize that as the church goes about its mission, Satan's kingdom falls. He continues then to be destroyed. So I think that's what Christ is getting at when he says this. I saw Satan fall from heaven. Yeah, while you 72 are out there doing this, Satan's kingdom was crumbling. In verse 20, he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So we could do all these great things in church, all these great programs, all this other great stuff, but what's the only one thing that matters? That our names are written in the book of life. Yes, we do all the things within the church to be able to build up his kingdom, to share the gospel, to bring others in, to strengthen our own faith. But what's most important is that our name is written. It's also a reminder, guess what? We didn't do it. You know what? When we share the gospel with people, we work in the church, build it up. Guess what? We're not earning salvation at all. We're just doing it in response to what he has done for us. And I always love the criticism of the secular world that says, you Christians think you're better than everybody else. Nope. We are all sinners in the need of Christ. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the expression of his person. Again, look at the point of what is written, or the point of the author of Hebrews there in chapter 1. Christ is put at the center. That is how God, or who God the Father talks through. Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Think of those words of Christ. Kings would love to know what we know because of Christ. Do you think the kings and the rulers of this world need Christ as much as us? Yeah. Boy, do they need it. Congress. I don't think Congress is ever going to ask me to open up with prayer. Anyway, whether it's the king or the lowliest person, all are in need of Christ. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.